This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 5, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Before we begin, I want to invite all of you to join me right here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud teaching, for fervent prayer for America's Day of Repentance and Praise. And then I pray for the sick, and often the Holy Spirit works through me in the word of knowledge, or the word of wisdom, or the gift of prophecy. So come, bring your sick loved ones and see what the Holy Spirit will say to you. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, and SoundCloud teaching. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place, the healthy Christian produce place. Wonderful produce place, amazing produce place, is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And every Christian in America, all 50 states, I ask you to join me right where you are, in your own state, in your own place, on Sunday, April 3rd, anytime that day, for America's Day of Repentance and Praise. All over this land, let's come together. Politicians, lead your group. Pastors, lead your group. Business people, lead your group. Social media, all kind of Christian organizations. If you're in a nursing home, lead your group, wherever you are, all over this land. And let's do and pray 2 Chronicles 7:14, and then let's culminate it with praises for God, because Psalm 22 says God inhabits the praises of his people. Can you imagine all America praising God? Amen. Hallelujah, all 50 Amen. States. You better believe God will rescue us then.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And now, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. From God's heart to my heart, to your heart. Let's harness God's unlimited power. Let's unharness God's unlimited power. Let's unharness God's unlimited power. See, you've been harnessing it. He's omnipotent. He has all power. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, God's not limited, but we harness him. So let's unharness him. I'm going to tell you how. So he can have unlimited power in everything in your life and in America and in the world.
Amen.
We left off last time with the Apostle Paul teaching us about the gifts of Holy Spirit. He had written about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We didn't quite finish for time's sake, so let me review just a moment, and then I'll get to the last ones that we didn't get to touch. We studied the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of discernment of spirits, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of speaking in tongues. And that was the last one. That is the language of the Holy Spirit. It is not gibberish. One more thing I want to add on that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says that when you pray with the language of the Holy Spirit, he has a language, you edify your spirit. See, you think you know who you are. Holy Spirit knows what's problem. Holy Spirit knows what the problem is in your business, in your body, in your family, in your spiritual life. And when he prays that language, he rolls the rocks out of the way.
Yeah.
Also, when you're praying for someone else, you're doing the best you can. You love them, but the Holy Spirit knows more. And when you pray in the Spirit, he takes care of that. And then there's a gift of interpretation. Now, this means that the Holy Spirit might occasionally give someone the gift of interpreting what another person has said in the Holy Spirit language. Let me tell you what it is not. It is not when a preacher goes to a strange land, a foreign language, and has an interpreter there. Of course you should do that, but see, that person probably already knows how to speak that language. In college, because I studied a lot of music, for voice I had to study a lot of languages, because to train your voice you have to sing in a lot of different languages. And I studied languages, but the Holy Spirit didn't do that. I did that. I studied that. But when the Holy Spirit speaks in a language through me, then the Holy Spirit often gives me that gift of understanding. So it's totally different. Understand that. Supernatural. Amen. And then there's a gift of prophecy. Only a prophet has a gift of prophecy. So what is a prophet? A prophet is an anointed speaker. One who speaks out of the anointing of God. Mostly the word of God. But even when the Holy Spirit speaks through, out comes the anointing. And then the prophet often has a gift of prophecy. In the Bible, they're called a seer, S-E-E-R, and they often tell you things to come. Now, it's very fitting that Paul started this Hebrews in this section, chapter 2, with the gifts of Holy Spirit. Because remember in Hebrews 1, Jesus says he makes his ministers and servants a flame of fire. In order to unharness God's unlimited power, you must have the Holy Spirit. You must be inflamed with his energy or it'll never work. So here we go. Let's unharness God's unlimited power.
Amen.
Verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the word to come whereof we speak.
Now, while angels are wonderful, cherubims and seraphims and ministering angels, and even calls us angels, there is only one head, and that is Jesus. And in Revelation 11, he says, Jesus will reign forever and ever.
Verse 6, but one in a certain place testified.
Now, he's writing about David, who wrote in Psalm 8. Paul is going to quote what David wrote in Psalm 8. We studied that on Wednesday night.
Saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him?
David said, and Paul said, what are we human beings that we would take up 24/7 rent-free space in God's mind? Why does God think about us? I mean, goodness gracious, look at us. We're just an absolute mess in this flesh. Well, here's why. Long, long, long ago, before you and I existed, there was one God. He always was, he always will be, eternal God. God is a spirit, and he has three different offices, God the Father, Yahweh, God the Son, Yeshua, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ruach. But God decided he wanted some people, some children, to love. So he spoke the word, and since God is a spirit, he took us part of his spirit and created all of us. That's why we are spirits. Our Father is a spirit, and we are spirits. And so you see, there we were, all created at the same time. Now, of course, you know sin in the equation, and you've heard that story while we're here in the flesh, but he's still mindful of us. Even though we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, he still loves us. That's why he's mindful of us.
Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him.
Oh, why did the Son of God, calling himself the Son of Man, take a body like we had to take a body because of sin and come in and die for us? Why did he do that? Same thing. God loves us. God loves you. God loves me.
Amen.
Might not like what we're doing.
Verse 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels.
Okay. Now here we are in a flesh body. The angels don't have to have this flesh body. We get tired. We age. We get sick and all this mess that we go through. But the angels don't have to do that. So we were equal to them in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, 6, first earth age, before sin ended. But now look at us. Here we are. They're kind of looking at us. Shakespeare said, what fools these mortals be. So they're looking at us. They're watching us. We're not quite as well off as they are because they don't have to do what we have to do.
Thou crownest him with glory and honor.
So because of sin, God made man in his own image. In Genesis 1, verse 26, God made them male and female. That word man is not the man Adam married to Eve. That's mankind in general, humankind. Well, look around you. What is that? Red, yellow, brown, black, and white. And God said it's very good. He honored them. And then God rested on the seventh day. And then he saw he did not have a farmer to till the soil. He needed a very special pedigree through whom his son Jesus would come to pay our sin debt in the flesh. So he created Eth Hadam, the man Adam. And then he took from his rib, from his curvy Eve, and he crowned him with glory and honor. Now he honored the six-day creation by painting them with such beautiful, beautiful colors. God loves colors, all the races. And he honored Eth Hadam and Eve because they were naked and did not even know they were naked, and why he gave them glory. The glory of God on Adam and Eve, Eth Hadam and Eve, was the light. God is the Father of lights. They were covered with the glory of God before they sinned there in the garden. They were covered with the light, and they could not recognize their nakedness. See, when you look into a light, it's a bright light, all you can see is the light. And so God honored and glorified man.
And thou didst set him over the works of thy hand.
The six-day creation, he said, I tell you what, you be the fishermen, you be the hunters, and you be the cattlemen. After the seventh day, Eth Hadam and Eve, he said, you be the farmers. You dig a hole in the soil, plant a seed, let the seed die, and come up and take care of the garden. This was a type that Jesus Christ is a seed, the Son of God the Father. And Jesus would come into this planet Earth, would die, and would be buried, and would rise again, and be the eternal tree of life.
Amen.
Verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet.
Oh, guess who his is? His is you. You say, wait just a minute. God put all things under subjection under my feet? I don't feel like everything's under my feet. I feel like fear's over my head, sickness's over my head, lack's over my head, trouble's over my head. Well, guess why it could be under your feet? You could unharness God's unlimited power.
For in that he put all in subjection under him, he let nothing that is not put under him.
Now he said, this is why, because when Jesus came, paid our sin debt, shed his very precious blood, the life's in the blood, and died, arose from the dead, all power was given to him in heaven and earth. When Jesus did that, he defeated death, whose name is the devil. And it is the devil that causes you to be afraid, fear, sickness, lack, or trouble. Jesus defeated all that because he has the unlimited power. So you say, but wait a minute, he said it's under my feet. It is. Let's unharness God's unlimited power for you. Let me show you how. First of all, you need the name of Jesus. Everybody say the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
Why is that? That's the name above all names. The name of Jesus, every tongue has to, every knee has to bow. Secondly, on the basis of the victory of the blood of Jesus. On the basis of the victory of the blood of Jesus. Thirdly, by the power of the fire baptism of Holy Spirit. By the power of the baptism of fire of Holy Spirit. And fourth, by the word of God. Now let me help you unharness God's unlimited power in fear, sickness, lack, and trouble. Here's how you do it. In the name of Jesus, on the basis of the victory of Jesus' blood, by the power of the baptism of fire of Holy Spirit, It is written. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Amazingly, Paul wrote this just before he was executed. He knew they were going to cut off his head, and he was going to go home to Jesus. He was in a hole in the ground called a prison. They put a lid on it. But look at that. He unharnessed God's unlimited power, and he could say, I don't have a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Let's help you unharness God's unlimited power in sickness. In the name of Jesus, on the basis of the victory of Jesus' blood, by the power of the baptism of fire, it is written. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. For I will restore health unto you, I will heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord. Look at that. He said, I'll restore health and cure you, I'll heal you of your wounds. And so you just unleashed God's unlimited power. Let's help you unharness God's unlimited power in lack. Maybe you've got enough right now, but with Joe Biden raising our taxes and redistributing the wealth, you're afraid you're not going to have enough. So let's help you unharness God's unlimited power over lack. In the name of Jesus, on the basis of victory of Jesus' blood, by the power of the baptism of fire of Holy Spirit, it is written, Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. But wait a minute, there's more. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God cause men to give into your bosom. God's law of reciprocity, and it is written, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, God gives seed to the sower. Paul is talking about money there. Gives bread for your food, and multiplies your seed sown, multiplies your money, and there you have it. Okay, now you've got trouble, so whatever your trouble is, put it in this category. Let's help you unharness God's unlimited power in whatever your trouble is. You know what it is. Here we go. In the name of Jesus, on the basis of the victory of Jesus' blood, by the power of the baptism of fire of Holy Spirit, it is written, Psalm 91, verse 15, when they call, I will hear. I will be with them in trouble. I will deliver them from trouble, and I will honor them. Let's learn some more.
But now yet we see not all things put unto him.
Okay. You said, okay, Jesus defeated death, whose name is the devil, and the devil's still picking at us. So it means right now, yet not yet. Why is it not yet totally fulfilled? Because while you and I harness God's unlimited power, we do that. That's our fault, not God. He's unlimited. God has got the devil in a harness. See, but God's not going to let anybody live in the world to come, the third heaven on earth age, unless you've been truly vetted. This is not going to happen again. Everybody in heaven on earth is going to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. You'll never betray him. So God's got the devil on a harness there, but he kind of loosens it a little bit, and he picks at you. He wants to see what you're made of. If you fold like a hothouse lily every time you want another drink of alcohol, another meth, or every time you don't want to love anybody, or every time you don't want to pray, or every time you don't give your life to God, look out, you're not fit yet. We got to all be perfect there, and that's why it's not yet fulfilled. It's just a test. Do you realize everything in your life is just a test? Amen. Everything's a test. Amen. And you thought you were here to watch video games and have fun and be popular and be pretty and have rich and money. No, you weren't. You're headed for the test. Amen. So you be prepared to live in heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Yes. Now I'm talking Amen. To Christians, of course. The rest of your lost ones, you're here on a test to see if you're going to accept Jesus so you don't go to the lake of fire.
Verse 9. But we see Jesus.
Oh, okay. Now, let's look at the unlimited power of Jesus. They beat him to a pulp. Isaiah says he didn't even look like a man. Psalms 22, he says, I'm not even a man. He couldn't have been a dog, just chopped liver. They pierced him to a cross. He gave up the spirit. They pierced his side. Out came all the blood. Out came all the water. They put him in a cold stone tomb. But God's unlimited power could not hold that man down. And 3 days later, he arose from the dead. Now, all of you want to unharness God's unlimited power. If you want to, say amen.
Amen.
Well, let me help you. How do we do that? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's build up your most excellent faith so you can learn how and believe that you can unharness God's unlimited power. Let's go to the word. Let's go to Genesis chapter 26. Abraham had the son Isaac, and it would be through Isaac the Lord Jesus Christ would come. But Isaac was in Abimelech's country there, and there was a famine in the land. But Isaac sowed in the land. You don't sow seed into the land when there's no water. But Isaac believed in the unlimited power of God. He sowed in the land in a famine, and he reaped 100-fold the same year. Now let's build up your faith in God's unlimited power. Let's go to Genesis chapter 39. Jacob, Israel's son Joseph, was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was doing pretty good in Potiphar's house until Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and he said, no, I'm not going to do that. So she lied on him and told her husband he tried to rape her. Potiphar had to put him in prison. Boy, that's bad. But Joseph knew the unlimited power of God. He excelled in prison. And Potiphar finally put him over the whole prison. And finally, of course, he got out of prison and became the second leader in the land of Israel. Okay, so we got Isaac and we got Joseph. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's look at the prophet Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet. He is a type. One of the two witnesses will have the anointing of Elijah. He's also a type of God's very elect here at the end, who are not going to be deceived by the about to appear Antichrist, who will be the devil pretending to be Jesus. He comes before the real Jesus. Elijah was being chased by the political system of the devil, Jezebel and Ahab. Well, they got their chariots there, and they ran after him full speed. Unlimited power of God was released in Elijah, and he outran all of their chariots. But when he finally got to a place, he was hungry. But there was a famine in the land. Oh, my. But God unharnessed God's unlimited power. And God sent a raven, don't eat ravens. Leviticus 11 tells you what's clean and unclean. And the raven brought him food in the morning and food in the evening. God's unlimited power. Let's look also at 1 Kings chapter 17. There's a widow of Zarephath. There was a famine in the land, and she had one little son. And all she had in her barrel was enough meal for one more little cake bread and enough oil to make that. She went out and picked up some sticks, and she said, I'm going to make the last meal for my son and for myself, and then we'll die. But guess what? God's unlimited power. God sent the prophet along, Elijah. Elijah said, make me a meal. Now, Elijah was not selfish. You know what he was doing? He was trying to help the widow of Zarephath unharness God's unlimited power in her, because Elijah knows the law of reciprocity. Whatever you give comes back multiplied. So she took that last little bit of meal and oil, made a cake, and gave it to Elijah. And she looked back there, and boy, the meal was just there, and the oil was just there, and there was no more famine for her. She lived and had food to feed for a long, long, long period of time. Now, let's look at the book of Exodus. We're in that book, in the book of Psalms, on Wednesday night. We look at the children of Israel had been led by Moses out of Egypt, out of slavery. But Pharaoh changed his mind and ran after them. Here comes Pharaoh's mighty army. We got about 2.1 million Israelites, God's chosen people, led by Moses. Boy, now they're in a, between a rock and a hard place. They come to the Red Sea. This is what you call between the devil and the deep Red Sea. Man, this is trouble. But God's unlimited power was exercised. God said, Moses, stretch out your rod. He stretched out his rod, and the waters parted and became a wall there, and out they went on dry land. Now, let's look at Lazarus in the book of John. Okay, Mary and Martha's brother had died. He had been buried for 4 days, and they wrapped him up like a mummy. But Jesus unharnessed the unlimited power of God, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. What a scene that must have been. He was all wrapped up there. He had to bounce out. Bounce, 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 bounce. Here comes Lazarus. And so God's unlimited power. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. Jairus' daughter was dying. And Jairus, the ruler, said, Jesus, if you will come and lay your hands on her, my little daughter will live. Jesus said, I will. But Jesus got delayed there because a woman with an issue of blood 12 years took up his time and he healed her. By the time Jesus got to Jairus' house, the little daughter had died. Jesus said, don't weep. She's not dead. She's sleeping. They laughed him to scorn. He put him out of the room. And he looked at the little dead girl. And he said, Talitha Kumma, damsel, arise. She came back from the dead. And he gave us some food to eat. God's unlimited power. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's look at the Gospel of John. Jesus is feeding thousands of multitude. There are 5,000 men plus women and children. Well, if most of them married, if they got 2 children, that's a whole bunch of people, right? They were hungry. They'd been there all day long. Jesus told his disciples, give them some food. The disciples said, only one little boy's got, he's got like little 5 little loaves here and 2 fishes. It could only make about 2 fish sandwiches. And Jesus unharnessed the unlimited power in Jesus, because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And they fed, and they fed, and they fed. 5,000 men plus women and children, and they had 12 baskets left over. Look at the unlimited amen. Power of God. Is your faith increasing a little bit
yes,
there?
Amen, yes.
Okay, okay. Now, let's look at the book of Mark. We see that Jesus and his disciples had gotten into a boat to go over on the other side. Jesus had been serving God 24-7 without any sleep, so he took a little nap in the back of the boat. But here comes the devil. Here comes a hurricane. Cain in a hurry. Cain's a child of the devil, you know. And there was a storm. Oh, boy, the boat filled up. It's about to sink. The devil, Cain in a hurry, Cain in a hurry, was trying to kill Jesus and the disciples. The disciples ran to him, wake up, Jesus. Don't you care that we perish? Jesus awoke and said to the winds and the waves, peace, be still. The winds and the waves obey his will. You see, God is in charge of the weather, AOC, and your little girl there's crying out, how dare you? You go back to school, God's in charge of the weather.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, let's look at Revelation chapter 12. This is a prophecy. This has not happened yet, but will happen in your lifetime because we're the generation of the fig tree. This is what's going to happen. The dragon, that is the Antichrist, pretending to be Jesus. He's got a dragon. He's called a dragon, serpent, Lucifer, devil, Satan, Antichrist, all kind of play acting names. The dragon will go after the woman. Okay. And with a flood. The dragon is about to appear Antichrist, the devil calling himself Jesus. The woman will be God's elect, men, women, boys and girls alive right now. Many of you listen to me now, who are not going to be deceived by the Antichrist. You know the sixth trump comes before the seventh, and six is the devil. But he's going to come after you with a flood of lies. However, God's unlimited power can be unharnessed by all of us. What will happen? The great eagle, God equates himself as a great eagle, will hide the woman God's elect, in the wilderness is the United States of America, for times and a half time. Originally, that was 3.5 years in Daniel. It's been shortened in Mark 13. That is the time of the Antichrist, and not one hair of your head shall be harmed. God's unlimited power. Now let's listen to Revelation chapter 11. A little before the Antichrist comes, you're going to be aware of two witnesses. The Greek does not say what gender. It doesn't say whether they're male or female. The two witnesses are going to be telling you the truth. They have the anointing of Elijah. They tell you the two fathers. And they have the power of the word of God like Moses did. It doesn't mean it is Elijah or Moses. It means they have the anointing and the word like them. Now, remember the Antichrist is playing sweet Jesus. So if he kills everybody, you wouldn't think he's Jesus. But he's going to finally blow his cool. You give the devil enough rope, he'll show who he is. Look at the government, okay? And so he's going to kill these two witnesses, Revelation 11. Not bury them, though. They're going to lie in Jerusalem. The whole world will see them for 3.5 days. But God's unlimited power will be unharnessed. For the seventh trump shall sound, and Jesus shall descend, and the two witnesses arise on their feet.
Amen.
Look at this. Now you know. You have the power of God in you if you're saved. You're the ones been limiting God. You're the ones letting fear control you, sickness control you, lack control you, trouble control you. But how do we do it? The name of Jesus, the base of victory is blood, the power of the baptism of fire of Holy Spirit, and it is written. And that unleashes God's power in everything of your life. And now America, we have omnipotent power in the United States of America. But the power is sleeping, the sleeping giant, the Church of Jesus Christ in America, all 50 states. In all 50 states, we've got enough Christians. Right now, we can unharness God's power and we can take back our country, take it away from the political system of the Antichrist, communism, socialism, Marxism. Wake up, church!
Amen.
How can we do that? Because we can all come together in the name of Jesus. On the base of victory's blood, by the power of the baptism of fire. And it is written on America's day of repentance and praise, right where you are, in your own place. And that would be Sunday, April 3rd, all day long. And the it is written is 2 Chronicles 7:14. All of us, all over this land, if my people call by my name, that means you sleeping giant church in America, all 50 states, will humble ourselves. Get off your pride horse there.
Amen.
And pray. We're talking about praying with a fire.
Amen.
Prostrate on the floor, crying and sobbing for this nation. And seek his face. No longer saying, give me money and riches and stuff. We want Jesus back in America.
Amen.
And turn from our wicked ways. Your narcissism. Your self-centeredness. I go to church once a week. That is so silly. You're supposed to be in God all 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, totally sanctified. You turn from your wicked ways, church. You're not sanctified. You got 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world. Look at your priorities. But if we do, guess what? God's unlimited power being unleashed, unharnessed in America. God says, I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins, America, and I will heal your land. It is not over. As we say in opera, I studied music. It's not over till the fat lady sings, and there's nobody fat around here. And it's not over. Let's do it, America. Let's unharness God's unlimited power in our land. Now, all of you, you have just heard something that can give you power over all the power of the enemy. Jesus told you in Luke 10:19, after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, you got to have the fire. You have power over all the power of the enemy. There's not one thing that cannot be under your feet in Jesus' mighty name. And we do it in his name, on the base of victory's blood, by the power of the Lord and Holy Spirit, and we say the word, but you don't do it like a robot. You believe it. We unharness that. Oh, Father God, how great thou art.
Lord.
All
thank
hail
you,
the power
thank
of
you.
Jesus' yes. name. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let me introduce to you at this time the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great after that, Miss Sherry. That was awesome. That was awesome teaching.
You feel powerful.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's powerful stuff?
Whereby are we given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, mm-hmm. that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:4
Absolutely
yeah.
perfect.
Amen.
Great, Scott.
We did not collude.
That is so great.
Amen.
Absolutely. Now, the greatest power is that you don't have to walk into the lake of fire. Jesus paid your sin debt. He overcame death, whose name is the devil. Everybody out there in cyberspace, anyone in here, if you're not saved, pray this prayer with me. You've got to mean it. Not like a robot, not just saying words. It's got to be in your heart, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
Please wash them all away with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash them all away with the blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the fire of Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the fire of Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, those of you in cyberspace, you need to tell someone. Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, my announcer, Scott, will give you my telephone number. When you hear that, feel free to call me. You'll get my voicemail. Leave your confession on my voicemail. I'll get it very soon, and I will pray for you. And welcome to the family of God. And now let me plant a little healing seedling into you. We're all overwhelmed to see that the leader of America does not have all of his cognitive abilities there. For Christians, you should never have Alzheimer's or dementia. So I'm going to give you a seedling how to help you before I pray for you. And it's never too late to start. Some people start their memory losing even as teenagers. The first thing you do is you need to read books. Watching television, duh, duh, duh. Cell phone, duh, duh, duh. You gotta think. And don't read little fairy tales. Read deep stuff. I've got a bunch of them if you want to borrow them. Read books. The next thing, think. I mean, put your thinking cap on and think. The next thing, memorize. You say, I can't, you better. If you never memorized anything, why don't you start like a little baby? Memorize one little scripture verse every week. Now, you don't practice it by reading it. You read it and you put it down and you make your brain think and try to say it. And you do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You must have it by then, and after a while you'll get better. Then do it again. You read real books, not fairy tales, not that little paper that you find at the checkout counter that's got gossip in it. You read real books, read the Bible. You think things out. You don't just receive all the nonsense that you hear. You think about it first, and you memorize things. Now I'm going to pray for you. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And now, Father, in the name of Jesus, for every brain that the cells are beginning to deteriorate forgetting. I forgot. In the name of Jesus, let those cells come back into perfect formation. The electrons working properly. The molecules working properly. The memory of the just is blessed.
Yes, Lord.
And let them remember to read, to think, and to memorize, and start using that wonderful brain God will give them. For you said, Father, that in old age, you'll be stronger than ever before. You increase in strength. No dementia, no Alzheimer's. We praise you, Father, for this healing of the brains in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Nothing's given you to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Excuse me. Your best friend is Jesus. He died for you. No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he loves you with all his heart. I love you too with all my heart. And I'm looking forward to the next time when we get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Amen.
God bless you, America. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth, inviting every Christian in America, right where you are, to please join me on Sunday, April 3rd, for America's Day of Repentance and Praise in view of 2 Chronicles 7:14. God's word is true, and he says, if my people call by my name, that's we, the Christian people of America, all 50 states, will humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, not his hand, but his face, and turn from our wicked ways, repent of our self-centeredness, our greed, our narcissism. God promises he will hear from heaven, he'll forgive our sins, and heal our land. He will heal America. I want to ask every Christian leader in America, wherever your platform is, pastors, politicians, radio, television, internet, social media, Christian organizations, will you that day please, any time on that Sunday, April 3rd, gather your flock together and lead them to pray and then do 2 Chronicles 7:14. Call out the sins of the church by name. And I want to ask you then, after you repent with your flock there, wherever you are, your own platform there, please lead your congregation to praise, because Psalm 22 says God inhabits the praises of his people. I do ask you, please, don't make this a show. Don't let anybody get famous or advertise their agenda about this. Let's be humble here and meek about this. Prostrate, if possible, on the floor, metaphorically in sackcloth and ashes. You might want to wear red, white, and blue. I do encourage everybody all of America, wherever you are, to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then let's all sing the Star Spangled Banner, which is a national anthem for America, the national anthem for red, yellow, brown, black, and white. Now, if the Holy Spirit's nudging you to participate, you might want to let me know. So here's someone who can let you know. He's my prayer partner, my twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson. Take it away, Scott.
Yes, you can reach or contact Sherry at Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com. That would be Shari Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Scott. God bless you, America. I love you with all my heart. Let's do this. Let's make America one nation under God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we all say, I agree in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the
God trumpet. God bless you, America. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth inviting every Christian in America right where you are to please join me on Sunday, April 3rd, for America's Day of Repentance and Praise in view of 2 Chronicles 7:14. God's word is true, and he says, if my people call by my name, that's we, the Christian people of America, all 50 states, will humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, not his hand, but his face, and turn from our wicked ways, repent of our self-centeredness, our greed, our narcissism. God promises he will hear from heaven, he'll forgive our sins, and heal our land. He will heal America. I want to ask every Christian leader in America, wherever your platform is, pastors, politicians, radio, television, internet, social media, Christian organizations, will you that day, please, anytime on that Sunday, April 3rd, gather your flock together and lead them to pray and then do 2 Chronicles 7:14. Call out the sins of the church by name. And I want to ask you then, after you repent with your flock there, wherever you are, your own platform there, please lead your congregation to praise, because Psalm 22 says God inhabits the praises of his people. I do ask you, please, don't make this a show. Don't let anybody get famous or advertise their agenda about this. Let's be humble here and meek about this. Prostrate, if possible, on the floor, metaphorically in sackcloth and ashes. You might want to wear red, white, and blue. I do encourage everybody, all of America, wherever you are, to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then let's all sing the Star Spangled Banner, which is the national anthem for America, the national anthem for red, yellow, brown, black, and white. Now, if the Holy Spirit's nudging you to participate, you might want to let me know. So here's someone who can let you know. He's my prayer partner, my twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson. Take it away, Scott.
Yes, you can reach or contact Sherry at Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com. That would be Shari Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Scott. God bless you, America. I love you with all my heart. Let's do this. Let's make America one nation under God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we all say, I agree in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM. When the mountains look so big. When my heart runs dry, there's no song to sing, no holy melody, no words of love within. I recall the heart from which this fragile heart has slipped, and I remember you. I will turn back and do for the love of you. Lord, I remember you. I will turn back and do the things I used to do. For the love of you.
my heart runs dry, and there's no song to sing, no holy melody, no words of love within. I recall the heart from which this fragile heart slipped, and I remember you. I will turn back and do the things I used to do for the love of you. Lord, I remember you. I will turn back and do the things I used to do for the love of you. You are my soul's desire, you are the hope within. Bring my heart to life, you make my spirit sing. I recall the heart from which this fragile heart was slipped, and I remember you. I will turn back and do the things I used to do. Lord, I remember you. I will turn back and do the things I used to do for the love of you. Lord, I remember you. I will turn back and do the things I used to do for the. Soul's desire, you are the hope within. You bring my heart to life, you make my spirit sing. I recall the heart from which this fragile heart has slipped, and I remember you. I will turn back and do the things I used to do for the love of you. Lord, I remember you. I will turn back and do the things I used to do for the love.
Thank you.
For the